May the Lord help us to commence our service by singing hymn number 750. Come, ye that know and fear the Lord, and lift your souls above. Let every heart and voice accord to sing that God is love. Hymn 750.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God. Continuing to read, friends, in the Gospel according to John chapter 1, reading from verse 14. That is the Gospel according to John chapter 1, reading from verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I say, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto these, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May the Lord bless his holy word to us. May he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we bow before thee now once more. Who give to us, Lord, give each of us, Lord, we beg, a breath of real prayer. O thou knowest how each of us are. Thou seest us through and through. We are before thee, Lord, a company of poor, unworthy, dying sinners. Oh, thou knowest who feels it, Lord. Thou knowest how we each are in our feelings and our thoughts, and oh, the very intents of our heart are known unto thee. Thou dost behold them. Oh, we would come, Lord, before thee now, confessing our sins. Even, Lord, the sins of this day. Oh, how sin is mixed with all we do. Oh, we have to confess, Lord, that even some of our words have been unnecessary. And they've been light, and they've been of things of nature, and things of materialism. No, Lord, thou dost call us to keep thy day. Oh, we do fail. We have to make solemn confession. Lord, how we are so prone to wander. Oh, still, how solemnly we feel our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, hear our solemn confessions, Lord, and Lord, those confessions we have to make, oh Lord, some of them too solemn to make in public. But Lord, oh, we beg thee, hear our confessions and have mercy upon us. We plead, Lord, for mercy now. Look in mercy upon us, Lord, and grant us here this night that we may know and feel that wonderful power that we tried to bring before the friends in opening up thy word this morning, even the power of thy love. Oh, the power, oh, that favour, Lord, if thou givest thy people power to become the sons of God unto them that believe on thy name. Oh, we pray for that vital grace of faith. Increase our little faith, Lord. Grant us that favour to so be in the exercise and favour of believing. May all our unbelief be gone. Oh, may we know it as sometimes we sing of it. Oh, to know, to pray for this, to seek it, Lord, with all our heart, be gone unbelief. But oh, to know my Saviour is near. To know this, Lord, tonight. Do come and be in our midst, Lord. May we feelingly know and feel and prove thy gracious presence here tonight. Oh, Lord, oh, to have a glimpse of thee by faith, to see thy glory so as we have seen thee in the sanctuary. Do come, Lord, tonight, we beg. Oh, may there be a blessing for 6 and for 7 and for 8 here tonight, Lord. Oh, we acknowledge the presence of each friend gathered. Oh, may none come in vain. May they not go home empty, Lord, if they've come seeking a portion for their soul. We pray, Lord, at tea time, may there be meat in thy house, Lord. That wonderful provision for dear precious souls. Oh Lord, food for dying souls. May pardon, love and blood be food for dying souls. And knoweth thy people's troubles, their trials, their tribulation therein, their afflictions, Lord. Oh, thou knoweth all their cases, Lord. Suit thy blessing to each case. And Lord, as we are mindful and careful in love to pray for each one that's present here, we would remember any that are not able to be with us. Do go to them, Lord. Any that are away, any that are feeling unwell, go to them, Lord, we pray. Bless them, Lord, and those that are caring for little ones. Oh, go to them and favour them. Give them meditation. Oh, give them to feel thy presence where they are, where they dwell. And Lord, we remember friends, many friends we have up and down across the land. Who has given them to us, Lord, as dear friends. And we would pray for them each and all. And some, Lord, in affliction, and especially as we thinking of a dear aged friend so poorly now. Oh, do go to him, Lord. Oh, thou knowest our dear friend, Lord, in that way we can speak of him, Lord, of his kindness and love and the sweet times of favour hearing him in prayer. Lord, oh, do go to our friend, dear Mr. Saxby. Oh, do be very near him, Lord. Oh, do speak to him, help him. Oh, that he might be able to speak. Oh, that he might be able to testify. Lord, in the last hours or whatever time is left allotted to him, Lord, it's all in thy will. Oh, we do beg for him and the dear friends of the little cause, Lord, we rejoice with them, but we too, Lord, if we are spared, oh, we mourn with them too. Oh, Lord, we have been in that favour to rejoice with them for what thou hast done. And now, Lord, our dear friend, thy servant, as the shadow of death, as it were, appearing more and more. Oh, Lord, how we need grace. How we need much help. How each of thy people do. Do be very near our friend, thy servant, at this time. Oh, Lord, oh, we pray, Lord, as a sweet witness of thy work appearing. Lord, we have had the tidings of it and the witness of it. And Lord, we think of a soul in another cause so recently too. Oh, Lord, we do pray. Oh, that there might yet be those that shall become witnesses of thy favour, thy goodness, thy love to them. Let thy work appear, Lord, unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. We look for it, Lord. We pray for it. For we are, Lord, we trust, exercise with single eye to thy glory. We would ever be so exercised, Lord, if thou dost go on to bless souls according to thy will. And we pray for it, Lord, and thou mightest enable them to show forth thy praise. Lord, thou shalt have all the glory. Oh, when souls are blessed, in that way thou dost receive honour and glory. Oh, may this be first in our praying, in our begging for it, Lord. Oh, may we have that first in concern and exercise, thy honour and glory, the good of precious souls and thy honour and glory. So, Lord, let thy work appear. Let thy work appear again here, Lord. Oh, constrained by thy love, thy people. Oh, draw them by thy love. We beg according to thy will. How it was in that record of that which was taking place at thy beginning of thy holy ministry. Lord, how John was baptized in Ainon beyond Jordan. There was much water there. But, oh Lord, that from it, that profound reality stated and known and proved by thy people, of thy wonderful working, of thy baptizing souls with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, this is what we need to know. This is what we look for, what we pray for, Lord. That thus the power of the Holy Spirit affecting souls may be much witness yet. May it be so here, may it be so in each of the little hills of Zion, if it could please thee. Oh, Lord, do let thy work appear. There may be the witness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, that in obedience entered into, as we've witnessed recently, oh, that is thy way, thy new command for thy dear people. And so in that way take up their cross and follow thee. So let thy work appear, Lord. And Lord, as we have been considering those wonderful things of that which is so much concerning thy coming, Lord, and thy being here on earth in that time of appointed time for thy life and walk on earth, and thy sufferings, death and resurrection, and thy ascension, Lord. O Lord, may we be helped to further consider tonight that, Lord, how it was with the dear apostles of the Lamb, as they were made so useful in thy name as servants of God, as ministers of the gospel. O Lord, O we pray, that we yet send forth more labourers into the vineyard, into the harvest. May there be those that shall be by thy exercising them so led to look on the fields and to see them white, ready to harvest. Thy way of exercising those who are appointed for the work of the ministry. Oh, we pray that this thy work may appear unto thy servants and the glory of thy thrice holy name, O our God, our good and gracious God, Jehovah. O Lord, let thy work appear. O do thrust out preachers more with voice to raise the dead. We acknowledge, Lord, what there was done in our beloved denomination. But, O Lord, thou art taking to thyself thy dear servants. And, Lord, there is that need, Lord, O perfectly known to thee. Oh, we beg, so exercise. We believe thou wilt, Lord. We believe thou wilt do it. We believe thou wilt do all thy will, even concerning the sending forth of servants of and ministers of the gospel into the work. Oh, let thy work appear. Oh, do so work, Lord. In that way thou hast stated, I will work. And who shall let it? Oh, we pray again for the young and rising race. Oh, many dear young souls here, and those not here but being cared for. We are concerned to pray for them, Lord. Their lot is cast in these solemn, terrible days. Oh, Lord, do thou keep them from the evil. Oh, if it could please thee to begin in them, Lord, in their early days of their lives. Oh, we look for thy work to appear in them, according to thy will. Do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Oh, let thy work appear in this way, Lord, in the quickening of dead sinners into life. Oh, Lord, young people here, I know with how we felt led to speak this morning. Was there anything of those solemn things we had to deliver that entered their hearts, Lord, thou knowest? Oh, Lord, as we mentioned that, we pray for that blood dipped dart, thy holy dart, might pierce our hearts. Oh, mind so cause pain of heart, the pain of heart and conscience, Lord. Oh, thy way of working to deal with sinners, to begin in them and to so in thy way make them need salvation, make them need the Saviour. Oh, do work, Lord, do deal with souls, bless the young people. Help them in their pathways, Lord. Make a way for them. Help them that they might be concerned rightly and decently and honestly to prosper in their pathways, Lord, in their calling. But oh, do give them grace, Lord. We beg according to thy will. But begging, Lord, that will give them grace to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. O Lord, we pray this regarding the very young in thy time, and those that are going on into teenage and growing up into manhood and womanhood, and those that are already in that grown-up state and much they have to attend to in this world. Keep them from the evil of this sin-bewitched world, Lord. Bless them in their souls, we beg. Teach them by thy Spirit. We beg according to thy will. So may there be the witness of it in the families, in the churches, that this and that one is born in her. Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. We pray, Lord, for all at this time of thy people. There are many we do not know, Lord, in other lands. And there may be many even in this land of ours that are not of the same persuasion as we are. But Lord, as we heard stated in the service on Christmas morning in a local church, a chapel at Stopford, the Christian people who do not actually practice what we practice, but they are thy people. It may be some were mentioned at tea time, Lord. I don't know. But we pray for all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. We pray for them, Lord, and those that are in very awful situations, terrible situations, as we've known through the news in these solemn days. There have been many solemnly, swiftly ushered into eternity at the hand of violent, terrible men. Lord, we pray that if where there are any in such danger, do help them, Lord, to be faithful unto death. The wicked ways of false religion, there's so much in the pressure of it and purpose of it, Lord. Their intent to try to make people turn to their false religion. But thy people must by thee be made faithful unto death. Lord, thou didst give that great grace to Stephen. To stand and, Lord, to stand faithful unto death. Give it to those that are in such places. Lord, thou to speak in thy ministry concerning coming to such a place. Those that kill the body, there's no more that they can do. And for thy people, regarding thy people, they cannot touch the soul. They cannot touch the spiritual life of thy people. And so, Lord, we pray for any in such places, such terrible situations, that thou wilt so be very near them. There was to those that were put upon the pyres, burnt at the stake, thou didst give them grace. Lord, in these days we would not have expected such things to appear, not expected such things to obtain. But it seems now it's still so. Man's inhumanity to man. Lord. We beg, hear us for thy people. Hear our prayers as we were in love. Pray thou wilt give grace. Lord, thou hast said, thy word is blessed, it states, he will give grace and glory. Lord, so we beg for all thy people. Hear prayer for our country, Lord. Have mercy on us. In wrath, remember mercy. Lord, do come now and help us to leave all natural things at the foot of the mount. Grant us of thy Spirit, Lord. May the dear Holy Spirit Give every word to the poor preacher to preach. Oh, that we may pour out as thou dost pour in. Lord, help us, we beg. Help us in further singing thy praises. Oh, help us and lead us on. Lead us in the way everlasting. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 346. A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles, and my comforts abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the souls he delights to defend. Hymn 346.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the first epistle general of John and the first and second verses in the first chapter. The first epistle general of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. As we well know, each of us, we've been reading in that first chapter in the Gospel according to John, and those verses we haven't read tonight, but we read this morning. It speaks so much, so clearly, of the Son of God, how he was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, unto them which believe on his name. And how they were born, and how, by the grace of God, they're brought into the secret of the favour of God's grace, of his love, his grace. Children of God, made children of God and joined heirs with Christ. And then, as we read this evening, especially much there recorded of how the Lord was first manifested and hailed by John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then how those dear disciples were called by him, and they followed him and walked and talked with him and lived with him and were witnesses, as John was and Peter was and all of the dear disciples, all the apostles of the Lamb were so near in these later days, somewhere about 90 years now AD, and they were remembering and acknowledging the wonderful things they witnessed when they were with the Lord, he with them. They walked and talked with him. And John here in this first epistle, in these first words of it, and he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. John, a true minister of the gospel, exercised and sent forth into the work. We know how the Lord spoke to them, friends. He said to them, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." That applied to John, this dear John. Oh, how he was made such a dear apostle, such a faithful minister of the gospel. And here he, in his ministry, exercised to write this epistle. And it's upon the vital things, the most important wonders of redemption, wonders of salvation, wonders of grace to God belong, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. They walked and talked with the incarnate Word, the Son of God, the Word of life. It's the Son of God. It's all what he is, all what he's done. And even too, we must not forget what he is doing now in heaven's high courts for good. What we have seen, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Friends, it's very important that every servant of God is exercised for due reverence, to be in exercise of godly fear. Our hands have handled of the Word of life. It is solemn. The Lord, when he was speaking to those added disciples, those that said, I will follow thee. He said to one, he that putteth his hand to the plough and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom. Oh, how important, you see. God's servants, he gives them to handle the Word of life. He gives them this calling. This is their calling. They're anointed for it. John was. He continued in it. The Lord had ascended up on high, fulfilled the word of the prophecy, led captivity captive, receives gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also. John was continuing his ministry as the other apostles were, those that were anointed for it. They had tarried in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And here is the record of John in his exercise as he's continuing in the work of the ministry. He had to be called to it, friends. He was called to it by Christ, the Son of God himself. And every servant of God, if there are any here, got an exercise for the ministry, it will be under God's calling, God's anointing. He will send you forth. He will make you faithful. He will bless you in your soul. He will give you that to preach. He will favour you with what you must preach, to know it by experience, and to thus be endued with power from on high. You may not know here in Swavesey, but it's back in 1987. You had our late dear friend Mr. Simmons preaching here, and Mr. Field, who was with you recently, was ill. He was at that time our pastor, and our deacon then, he contacted Mr. Simmons asking him if he would come over to us in the afternoon of that Lord's Day. He was here. He came over with the word. It's the word in the Acts of the Apostles. I'll try to quote it to you. Then the Lord spake unto Paul in the night by vision and said, fear not, I am with thee. Speak, I am with thee. And that word, I have not quoted it all, but that word Mr. Simmons came with. And God accompanied that word with holy divine power. And that was the power of God working that fell upon this poor preacher to thrust one out into the work of the ministry. Oh, I can never forget it, friends. It was by divine power we received the anointing for the ministry and thrust out in the work. And we know John was. He tarried in the city of Jerusalem till the Lord endued him with power from on high, and he was made a true, faithful servant of God. And here we have here in this record of what he wrote himself under the inspiration of the Spirit. He states these most vital, blessed things concerning the Son of God. And that's what every servant of God must preach, must state, must stand on, must hang all their personal hopes of heaven upon, and preach to others the truth as it is in Jesus, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. The word of life, and how the Son of God came, how he came and stooped down to wretchedness and us, that guilty worms might rise. How he came to the earth to save souls, to save sinners. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And now the Apostle Paul said, of whom I'm chief, and you feel to be chief, and if you are under God in exercise for the work of the ministry, you feel to be the chief of sinners. But God will bless you with that grace you need and anoint for the work of the ministry, if it be his will. The word of life, what we've handled, our hands have handled, the word of life. Oh, how we need those clean hands. Can you see how the dear Spirit, I trust, has led me this day? You know where we read, friends, this morning, in that 24th Psalm, he that hath clean hands. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand before him? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. We've not got that by nature, but God gives it. He does give it. He gives what his people need. He gives those he has the purpose to anoint for the ministry what they need. He gives you those clean hands and a pure heart. Say, I've got a wicked heart. But oh, you must, as God helps you, acknowledge. Oh, if we are true born children of God, we are given a new heart, friends. A new heart. He says, will I give unto thee? And it's that, isn't it? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. You say, well, I'm so troubled because I'm so unfit. I'm such a sinner. But you see, God gives a new heart. And he gives clean hands. He washes, he cleanses. He does all for us, in us and for us, what is needed. He prepares us for all his will. He blesses us with his grace. It's the grace of God that we must witness. Paul says, what I am by the grace of God. And that's how we must come and come to that and be in that and profess that and stand upon that. It's what we are by grace. We're still wretched sinners, but by the grace of God we're what we are. And oh, that is humbling to acknowledge, and we should and will be and desire to be humbled to acknowledge it in that way. Or that which was from the beginning. From the beginning of creation, remember how we touched upon that this morning. He was in the world, equally involved in creation with the Father and the Blessed Spirit. Omnipresent is our God. The world knew him not, though he was omnipresent. He's always, he's everywhere. He has servants everywhere. Oh, that which was from the beginning, from creation, from the beginning. And you know, that which we cannot comprehend, from the beginning, even in eternity, before the world, where God Jehovah made that great, stupendous, choice of a people, how he chose his people in Christ, how he had in that covenant of grace, in that perfect agreement in the covenant, the Trinity, the sovereign choice of a people, which was from the beginning, when God wrote our names in heaven, when he enrolled us in that eternal book, the covenant of grace, that which was from the beginning. But we didn't know about it, of course, and not even when we were born and found walking this earth and living our lives, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, that which was from the beginning. From the beginning of thy experience, from the beginning of what thou dost know by the grace of God, that which was from the beginning. And of course, John, that which was from the beginning of his taking up the work of the ministry under that commission the Son of God commissioned him with, that which was from the beginning. There's so much in this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Oh, what is this? John and every one of God's people, they have given them hearing ears and seeing eyes, spiritual faculties. Oh, the servant of God must have these. The people will have these granted. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. And what is it? Well, really, it's all the wonders of redeeming love. It's all God's wonderful salvation. It's all of God's wonderful purposes of love and mercy. That which was from the beginning, and all of those wonderful things of God's purposes and God's grace and God's love, all in Christ, in and through him, in and through him alone, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Oh, all the wonders of God's grace. Oh, all in Christ. Oh, all in this one blessed person, the eternal Word of God. Oh, and how wonderful it is that the written and the incarnate Word in all things are the same, which our hands have handled of the Word of life. To think that God commissions poor men to handle the Word of life. Oh, how we need those clean hands, friends. We need a pure heart. And God does give it. Though we are so troubled regarding our wretchedness, our unworthiness, it seems that we're utterly unworthy. But God gives. He gives that pureness. He gives those clean hands. They are all of grace given. He gives a new heart, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. So there are the servants of God we know and love of our beloved denomination. This word applies to them, you know. And there are those who are yet to be sent forth into the work of the ministry, and this word will apply to them. It will. It will be their calling. It will be their exercise to handle the word of life, to preach it to sinners, to blaze the gospel trumpet, to preach and blaze the gospel trumpet with a certain sound. One of the words in one's exercise that God so burned in our heart, so powerfully affected us with, was this: blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, the gospel trumpet, and with a certain sound. If the trumpet give not a certain sound, who shall prepare for the battle? It must give a certain sound. It must have a right ring. And God will so equip and qualify his servants for this, teaching them well by his Spirit. They'll be well grounded in the truth, blessed and favoured, and then thrust in forth into the work. Oh, the handling of the word of life is very, very important, friends. And oh, how we need to be concerned that we might be led of the Spirit, wholly and fully anointed of the Spirit. Oh, our hands, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Notice Paul, notice John the Apostle. He says, we have. So he is including those we read of, friends. Philip and Nathaniel and others there, and how they were spoken to by the Lord, and how they were acknowledged by him, and how later they were thrust out into the work of the ministry. He says, that which we have, and oh, friends, this is applicable today among our dear friends, the servants of God of our beloved denomination, that which we have handled of the word of life. But you know, what is so profound and amazing to me is that as the dear Spirit so grants us that leading and that much needed help, and we preach the gospel and God blesses him, nothing is more humbling when the servants of God know God has given them spiritual children. Oh, how humbling this is, that such as we are should so be used, handling the word of life, preaching a precious Christ, and God so blesses souls, does them good, feeds them, favours them, so that they are blessed, and they bless and praise their Lord then. Oh, they know his love and love him in return. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. The life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness. Important, isn't it? This was what John was employed in, under the wonderful exercise of the Spirit in his ministry. He says, for the life was manifested, meaning Christ. He walked this earth, they walked and talked with him. Dear John leaned on his breast at supper time. Oh, how these dear disciples, these dear apostles, oh, how they were such sure and able witnesses, because of what they'd experienced. And is it not so today with the servants of God? What makes them to be? God so works to establish them in the work of the ministry by blessing them. They are blessed in their souls. They are favoured to know and taste redeeming love. God gives them love to souls. And so that then in their work as God anoints them for the ministry, they go forth in his name with a burden for souls, and the Lord uses them, blesses souls, and gets to himself the honour and glory due to him. And it's this, isn't it? For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness. You see, we bear witness because we have seen it. We have seen the Lord. We bear witness of him. We preach him. Oh, we preach him in love and faithfulness. because he is the Lord. He is the only one, the only Saviour, like your deacon prayed. No other hope but in him. Nowhere else to look but to him. It's Jesus only. It's Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. For the life was manifested. John was an eyewitness, walked and talked with the Lord. But in our day, our Lord is not on the earth, but the blessed Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And this is so humbling, so makes us to be so thankful and to praise God and to desire with love for souls that others might know. That others might know that all those God loves might be brought, as they certainly will be. God will quicken his dead elect. We want to be witnesses of it. We want to so be exercised to see these things appearing, praying the Lord's work will appear in the church of God. For the life was manifested. This is the basis, this is the bedrock, the grounding of the exercise here of the apostle. For the life was manifested and we have seen it. Oh, the Son of God. You know, every one of God's people, their life is hid with Christ in God. Every one of God's people. The life was manifested. We have seen it. That life which is in God's Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He who hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Oh, is it so? Oh, there are those of you here, you know that the servants of God have been used of God to sow witness. Oh, give witness of these things. The Son of God, the Saviour, the dear Redeemer. Oh, we must point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. There's no other way, friends. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You dear young people, what you need is you need to know the Saviour, the Son of God, as your Saviour. I spoke to you some very solemn, pointed things this morning. Hope you were able to receive them. And not only the young, but there may be older ones too. How important it is to be prepared. How we sung this morning, eternity, tremendous sound. The guilty souls, a dreadful wound. Seem quite profound, friends, that two of the hymns that dear Benji gave out this morning, dear Dennis gave out this afternoon at Southery, two of those hymns we've sung twice today, and all the importance of them, especially that favour of knowing the Lord as the fount of every blessing. Oh, he is. If you know the Son of God rightly, truly know him, you'll know him as the fount of every blessing. Oh, and we want our hearts to be tuned to sing his praise. Yes, we do. Oh, this is what John knew. This is what John testified. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. It's all, it's everything. It's all what the Son of God is and all what he has done. It is all what he is to his people. The life. The life was manifested. And we have seen him. He's talking about the Son of God. The incarnate Word. The eternal Word. He's speaking. He's giving testimony. He's preaching concerning the eternal Word. For the life was manifested. What a word this is, manifested. Shown, made known, opened up, revealed. Revealed to poor sinners. Revealed to poor sinners deep in debt. revealed to those that are guilty and unworthy and lost and ruined in the fall. Oh, for the life was manifested. You know, everything of us, according to what we will learn and know solemnly under conviction of sin, is that we deserve to be cast away forever. We deserve to be cast into hell. But oh, this wonderful life was manifested. The life of the Son of God who came. He was by eternal generation, the co-equal, co-eternal Son of God. Come to this earth. He walked this earth. He went about doing good. He fulfilled the whole law of God. He brought in everlasting salvation, everlasting righteousness for the church. He saved. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness. Oh, how important it is, friends, both for preachers and for the hearers that are blessed, that we bear witness, that we show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. It's a high calling for the servants of God, but it is still a high calling for each child of God to bear witness. And you say, how can I? I'm so unworthy, I'm so helpless, I'm so weak. But God gives the strength you need. Think of how it was with those that have gone before. Think of that great commission God laid upon Joshua. Oh, how God said to him, be strong and very courageous. And God gave him that strength. He gave him that grace. He gave him that enabling. And he proved it, didn't he? Yes, God's people will always prove what God promises, what he gives. It will be sufficient. His grace is sufficient. As we quoted this morning, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And yes, to the subduing of your old man, to the subduing of your old nature, oh, the Lord will so give you. If ye favour you to receive such a word as that, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I believe you say, as I hope I have said, not that I want to boast that, friend, or claim that wrongly. I would not take anything to myself. But you see, God does sanctify us and bless us. And we say then, most gladly, therefore will I bear mine infirmity, that the Spirit of Christ might rest upon me. You see, we have witness of Christ and all what he went through. If we bear witness of him, if we've seen him like it states here, if we've had our hands have looked upon him, our eyes have looked upon him, our hands have handled the word of life, you know, it's all about the Son of God in coming in this world and stooping down to wretchedness and us. The guilty worms might rise. How he come with that purpose to go to Calvary to suffer there. How we read of it. A dear friend, the Lord's servant, mentioned it in our hearing. Some of you know how he mentioned, and how sacred those words are that the Lord spoke. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? He's saying he must go through. He must suffer under death, even the death of the cross. He must bear all the sins of the church of God in his own body on the tree. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? His baptism was a baptism of tremendous agonies, tremendous sufferings. Oh, his suffering so intense Angels have no perfect sense. Yes. But oh, he came. And he went right through in that way appointed to suffer, bleed and die. He took the dying traitor's place and suffered in his stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man the Saviour bled. Oh, we are called to bear witness, friends, where we have been blessed to know, to have it sealed to us, that it was done for me, that he suffered, bled and died for me. Paul has it in his testimony. He loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, our favour is this to so acknowledge for. And this second verse is, as it were, a verse to explain upon and regarding the first verse. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That eternal life which is in the Son of God for his people. The Son of God himself stated it. He spoke it. He spoke it in a way of application regarding his sheep. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Sheep. Oh, if you consider sheep. We know we have a dear friend who is very well acquainted with sheep, who is one of your dear people here. You know sheep. Yes, they are. They are weak, they are vulnerable, they are helpless in themselves in many ways. They are cared for by the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Oh, in the highest, most wonderful sense, he gives, the Son of God gives his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Yes, oh, to have this revealed to us, to have this favour, and show unto you that eternal life which is with the Father and was manifest unto us. Oh, that eternal life, all in and through Christ, what he has done, what he is and what he's done, what he's doing now. Oh, to have this wonderful revelation, and the Lord to so grant it to us, each of us, if it be his will. And to see it in the way of an exercised servant of God, his loving exercise and purpose under God's commission. It says, for the life was manifested and we have seen it. The servants of God must know it. They must speak of the things they've tasted, handled and felt, of the good word of life, which we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. Of course, it was with the Father. The Son of God was ever with the Father, and he came to this earth. And oh, in the mind and purpose of God, in the purposes of Jehovah, oh, we sing of him. He was needed much indeed. There to stand a mighty lover in the church's room and stead, the Son of God. Oh, that eternal life which is in and with the Son of God, through the Son of God for his people, which is with the Father, and was manifested unto us. It was manifested, and I would humbly state it, friends, it was manifested unto me many years ago. And I carried an exercise to preach the gospel, but I was rebellious, I confess it. I resisted it. Oh, if you go on an exercise to preach the gospel, you'll suffer if you resist it. You will. You will suffer for it. I've had to suffer much. But I wouldn't say that in a critical way of my God. He is holy and just and good. Oh, he has a perfect right to govern me and mine. But oh, I send it forth before you what I've tasted, handled and felt of the word of life and of the exercise of the Spirit, that we mustn't rebel. If we rebel, it will cost us. It will. Oh, we must fall before our God, his holy will. We must obey him. Oh, how important. Oh, we want to obey him. Oh, how we sing of it in the hymn. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. Yes. Oh, friends, you had this wonderful manifestation of a precious Christ. Oh, you have so much favour, so much love, God showing you. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my power, my all. Yes, it does. God demands it. He calls you. He draws you. He exercises and draws and draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Really, the following verse is important to consider. We can't consider it tonight, but that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what wondrous words these are, coming from a servant of God. And how wonderful they are in the experience of them. And how God so works to bless souls, to save souls, that they might be prepared on earth for the singing of God's high praises forever in eternal glory. They're blessed on earth, for 'tis by grace they feel and know their mournful case. Blessed mourners, they shall surely rise to endless joys beyond the skies. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £719, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jabez Rupp will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And God willing, our friends at Oakington hope to hold a prayer meeting on New Year's Day morning. Let us close with hymn 1118. What is love? My soul would answer. Naught deserves the endearing name but the God of love, the Saviour, whose dear heart's a constant flame. Hymn 1118.
wherein it is to know it, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh dear, John gave such blessed testimony. Do help us, Lord, that we may speak well of thee, we may show forth thy praise. Forgive us, Lord, all our sins, our shortcomings. O Lord, wash our services in thy holy precious blood. O we beg, in mercy grant us, Lord, that favour to know our sins are all forgiven. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.